In Tunisia, a general strike got underway in Tunis on Friday as mourners gathered for the funeral of opposition politician Chakri Belaid, who was shot dead on Wednesday. His assassination has plunged Tunisia into a deep political crisis. Unions are blaming the government, led by the Islamist Ennahda Party, for the murder. It has denied the accusation. In a bid to calm the situation, the Prime Minister, Hamadi Jebali, has called for a nonpartisan, technocratic government, but this has been rejected by his own party. Lydia O'Kane spoke to Dr. Bernie Seb, lecturer in colonial and postcolonial studies at the University of Birmingham, about stabilizing the country at a time of rising tensions.
How do you see the situation? I mean, do you see the situation now as increasingly volatile?
Yes, it is definitely becoming increasingly volatile, in particular because it is exposing also many contradictions within the ruling party Ennahda, in particular because Ennahda has always had to choose between looking like a moderate Islamic party, which was willing to introduce more religion in political life in the country, but within the limits which Western countries would be prepared to tolerate. And so this wing is very much embodied by the current prime minister, who is the number two of the party, the secretary general, Hamadi Jebali. Whereas there was a much more religiously centered and much more radical wing, which is embodied at the moment by Rashid Hanouchi, the historic leader of the party, which really tries to develop politics and the practice of politics centered on identity and religion. And so we're really witnessing at the moment a split between these two wings within the ruling party, which has been expressed, I think, and brought to the fore by the fact that the current prime minister is ready to reshuffle his government in order to have a government of technocrats only, so an apolitical government, which would be a great way of appeasing current political tensions in the country, but he's not supported by his own party at this stage, which is opposed to the idea of any government or reshuffle.
Many countries, including Tunisia, also Egypt, went through this so-called Arab Spring 2 years ago. Looking at these countries now, does Tunisia, do you think, have echoes of what's been going on in Egypt? Because there are many people who thought that, with regard to the new constitution, that religious minorities would be affected. Is this the same thing that's happening also in Tunisia? Are there echoes there?
Yes, to a large extent, it's true that the Arab Spring has had the effect of allowing political Islam to become much more visible across the board, and so which is not in itself a problem, provided the principle of democracy is recognized and defended by all the parties involved in the political race. So, I mean, both the Muslim Brotherhood and then the Ennahda in Tunisia and in Egypt have really tried to be seen as parties of government rather than parties which did not recognize the rules of political game. So we have a rather different position than the one that we witnessed in Algeria in the 1990s, where the Islamic Salvation Front had an extremely radical political program, which actually cost it power, because it gave very good arguments to those who wanted to prevent it from accessing to power in Algeria in the 1990s. So they seem, at least officially and in the rhetoric, as well as the way in which they package themselves on the international arena, they really try to emulate the Justice and Development Party of Turkey, of Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan, rather than being seen as radical Islamist movements which would not be appropriate partners for foreign countries.
How do you view the position at this point of the Prime Minister?
It's a very uncomfortable one at the moment, because on the one hand, as the leader of the government, he's trying to appease the political situation, but on the other hand, he's also under the pressure of members of his own party, some of whom are actually tempted to be quite lenient when it comes to acts of political violence committed by Salafi groups, which are ideologically quite close to the most radical or most conservative members of the Ennahda movement.
Is there a way to go to stabilizing the situation, do you think?
Yes, there is definitely. I mean, Tunisia historically has had a tradition of peaceful conflict resolution. So in the region, it's really been one of the most stable countries, which also enjoyed the most advanced level of practice of democratic dialogue. So we can hope that there will be a peaceful resolution to the conflict. But in order to do this, I believe that the Tunisian government will need to have a much tougher stance against all those who are trying to prevent the free exercise of human rights and political freedom within the country. And this, in particular, means being very tough against the members of the Salafi militias who are very regularly intimidating the more secular parties operating in Tunisia. And so in order to have a genuine political dialogue, the government needs to treat everyone equally and to make sure that the state apparatus is used as a way of ensuring also political freedom in the country.
Do you think the Prime Minister needs to work with the President of the Republic?
Yes, it's very important because they belong to democratic parties and they are not they do not belong to the Islamic movement in Ennahda. And as a result, it's very important that Prime Minister Jebali works closely with the President Moncef Marzouki, as well as the President of the Constituent Assembly, Ben Jaafar. So I believe that they also need to demonstrate that they're united in their fight against extremism and against political violence, so that the Tunisia remains very firmly geared towards the practice of democracy in a very healthy environment.